Oh.
Nug.
I love that. I'm keeping that in the clip. Wonderful. I'm glad you're recording. All right, ready?
You.
Okay. All right. Welcome back to another amazing episode of Down and Dirty. This time, we really changed scenery. We're in Washington, D.C.
Actually, Virginia.
But we're so close to Washington, D.C. I'm here with one of my long pals. We have a very interesting story as to how we met, but we'll get there. And yeah, she's here. She's awesome. She's excited. She's probably my first guest that is not nervous. And she's going to introduce herself. So if you could please tell us your name, where are you from, and how are you feeling today?
Hi, guys. I kind of wish this was recorded because I'd just be acting like everyone's watching me.
Hey, chat. Yeah, I know. I can't wait until I have the video going.
Absolutely. But I'm Ariana. I'm originally from Jersey. I currently live in Virginia. I forgot the rest of the things that you asked me, but I'm feeling really good.
That's literally what I asked you.
Okay, good. Yeah, I'm happy you're here. Thanks for coming, guys.
Guys. Yes, I come with all of you guys. This is a very long time coming episode. I'm so glad we made it work because, as you guys heard, okay, well, first, let me just start off by saying I do not call her Ariana. I call her Twin.
Yeah.
And that is because when we met in high school, we went to two different middle schools. And everyone used to always say, oh, do you know Yancy? You remind me a lot of her. Or do you know Ariana from whatever school? I'm not going to say the name. You guys are really alike. Like, you guys look similar. You laugh the same. And I mean, I don't know what Twin was saying, but I was just kind of like, really? I haven't seen her. I don't really know.
Literally, I was like, I've never, first ever heard that name before. Like, who is that? Like,
yeah.
Nervous little freshman, like, I guess. Thank you. you know.
Exactly.
Stressed out.
And then one day in the locker room, we heard each other laugh, or I heard her laugh or something.
I literally laughed so loud, guys. Like, I'm sure you might hear it throughout this.
Yeah. She laughed or I laughed, and somehow we turned the corner and there we were, and it was automatic, like 1, 2, 3, Twin.
It was like that Spider-Man meme. We're just like pointing at each other, like, I what? Like, this is so,
yeah, like, oh my god, it's you.
Oh my god,
you're the person. So yeah, ever since, we call each other Twin. And that being said, Twin lives near this side of the town. Mm-hmm. And I live in Jersey, but we both went to school in Philly, so we definitely have
grown up together.
Yeah. In different cities. But it's really hard seeing each other because her work schedule is pretty crazy, and when she comes home, she's doing a bunch of stuff, and then I live a little far, and my life just be busy too.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, guys, we made it work. We're here. I've been here for the last couple days. It's been a time. And to be honest, Twin is just one of those big safety nets. She's a person who's like my safety. She's always been that person growing up, especially in college. She went to Penn and I went to LaSalle, so thank God for that.
Oh, seriously, like, neither of us knew anybody out there. Like, we just said, okay, peace out, Jersey, as if that was like the easiest thing to do at age 18. Are you kidding?
Yeah, we really said, okay, we're gonna try this whole other city. I did know someone in LaSalle, but she was a senior, so once she left,
yeah.
Obviously, well, I had friends at that point,
yeah.
But I mean, no one. We didn't have family out there, so we were our sense of home.
Yeah, literally.
Away from home.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's been a ride. It's been great. I think this is one of my strongest friendships.
Throwing up hearts, guys, I promise.
Throwing up hearts. But yeah, one of my strongest friendships, whenever things come crashing down or when things are great, she's always one of the people that are first to know. She's known every side of me, every heartbreak, every downfall, every accomplishment, everything under the sun, she knows. And it's crazy because she lives the furthest. Yeah, you do live the furthest out of all my... Well, I have a friend in California, but... And then, okay, and then there's Emily in Arizona.
Or Arizona?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
She moved there.
Oh, my gosh.
She really said, peace out, Philly.
Honestly?
And moved across the country.
Gee, I love that.
Yeah, she's loved it. She's found a lot about herself. She met amazing people over there. And I don't think her journey will continue in Arizona. I think she got her... I think she got what she needed from living out there, mm-hmm. and now she's ready for her next move. So
friends across the U.S., like, I love that.
Yeah. And friends, you know what a true friendship is? A good friendship when your friends are distant,
yep.
but you still remain so close.
It's like nothing ever changed. Like, you show up and it's like, hey, I saw you yesterday. I mean,
yeah.
probably like 2 years ago.
Yeah. And it's, when was the last time we saw each other? Like, almost a year, probably.
It's gotta be almost a year. I mean, FaceTime doesn't count, but, like, in person, oh, a long time ago.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, because you came to the restaurant.
I was thinking.
And that's when I would see you.
That was, like, my birthday, but I don't think it was my last birthday, was it? I don't know.
I think so.
It's been
I think it was last year. Yeah, it has been a minute, and we're the type of friends where we schedule FaceTime calls because we literally have to debrief everything that has gone on in our lives.
Like 3 hours long.
Yes. And we answer the phone. One of us will go first and yap.
Mm-hmm.
Let it all out.
Yep.
Then we'll discuss. And then the next one will do the same. And then it'll be bedtime.
We're literally each other's therapists. Like, it's kind of crazy. It's like, good night. Bye.
Yeah.
Or two.
So anyways, that's the gist of Twin and I. You guys have noticed that I'm introducing you to a lot of people in my life who are all embedded in me some way. And this is her. She is a great person, a great sister, daughter, an amazing friend. She's just, honestly, it doesn't get better. She's very present. She's very caring. She's very supportive. She's very... loving. I mean, I have not one bad thing to say about Twin. She might be, I can't even think of something negative, but she's definitely one of those ones. And I can't wait to go throughout the rest of my life with her in it. And I can't wait to dig into who she is and why she's so important to me. So if you could please... We're going to begin. Yes. And if you could please tell us a little about your upbringing. But when I speak about your upbringing, I want to discuss how growing up the way you did has maybe affected you today. And before you begin, I just want to mention that Twin had a lot of pressure on her because she's always been a smart kid. Well, she's a smart woman now. But she was always a smart kid. She was always, you know, doing her thing in school, doing her thing in sports. She was always very dedicated to her education. And I think there was a lot of pressure at home, kind of like what I had, but I think she had it even more. I mean, she didn't graduate second in our class for no reason.
Yeah, that's a slight flex too. Forget about that sometimes.
I remember for the longest I used to be like, oh my gosh, she's my smartest friend.
Oh my gosh. And I'm always like, these guys, girls.
Yeah, she was always so humble with her intelligence. It's hilarious. But she really is very intelligent. And yeah, like, tell us, how was that for you? Was it crazy?
It was insane. I kind of owe that all to my parents, I can't lie. So I guess going back to your original question, like, what was my upbringing like? So like you, I'm the oldest daughter. So that comes with a lot of challenges. And I think, you know, our parents are just trying to figure it all out, like, with us. So I'm very grateful for my parents. And we kind of touched on this a little bit yesterday that, like, or even today, that, like, you know, they do the best that they can, and I really do feel like they did in my instance. So my dad's Dominican and my mom's Honduran. They're both grew up very much like education first. Like, you're only going to be something if you finish your degree and start your job and all of these things. And so as a kid, I remember, like, just I had to come home with A's. Like, it was just like, you come home, you study, you do your homework, and then you go to bed. And then if there's other things, the other things would be like hobbies. You know, you're going to karate, you're going to dance, you're staying busy. But the main focus is always education. So I would come home, I would, you know, let's say I finish soccer, come home, do my homework. And then even as a little kid, like, my dad would have extra homework for me on the side. So I would have, like, let's say I was learning spelling in second grade or something, I would have to spell out like 15 words for my dad in like a sailboat form. I don't know if any of y'all have ever experienced that, but it's a long process. So to know you're coming home to more homework was always a lot. But I think it, like, really formed who I am in a way, like, to just kind of be like, okay, you have to lock in, you know, you have to just get your things done. So I can go on a lot of tangents, so I want to make sure that I'm answering the question.
Okay.
So am I going in the right direction?
Yes. My question now is, do you genuinely feel proud of your intelligence? Like, can you openly say, I am an intelligent person?
Absolutely. And I mean, I feel like we all go through this thing called, like, imposter syndrome. So I know I'm always like, yeah, but I grew up in a small town in Jersey, and, like, maybe I went to, like, a smaller school and all those things. But to get to the point where I went to a university that is an Ivy League, and to, I'm gonna not be humble about this, excel, to get out of it and be like, you know what, I did that. Like, it very much is something that I hold true to me. And I'm like, yeah, I am smart, and that's okay. Like,
yeah,
I need to be proud about that. But also to remind myself that, like, we're always learning. And I think my career as a nurse has taught me, like, you learn every single day and you don't know everything. So though I know I'm smart and quick on my feet and everything like that, like, I am very open to what the world has to offer, and know that, like, I might be able to offer it something, but I'm always going to learn something new.
Yeah.
Every day.
Now, how was that feeling when you got accepted into UPenn? And for those who are not aware of this, because my listeners could be of all ages and all different places in the world, the United States has designated schools that are considered the best schools to go to, and we reference them as Ivy Leagues. Mm-hmm. So Twin, who is a Hispanic woman from a small town in Jersey, got into one of the best schools in the nation, which is called the University of Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Funny enough, I always knew about Ivy Leagues, but I didn't know that there was one that had a nursing school in it. So I was always like, it's never going to be for me.
Is that rare?
It's University of Pennsylvania is the only one with a nursing school.
Really?
Yeah, at least that I'm aware of that does undergraduate.
Oh.
And so I remember when I was talking with my guidance counselor, shout out Mr. Spazzato. I don't know if we're supposed to use names, but I owe a lot to that man. I just gave him a list of all the colleges I wanted to go to, like, universities, and I'm like, you know, help me. And he was like, well, why isn't the University of Pennsylvania on here? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, yeah, it has a nursing school, it's an Ivy League. And my eyes kind of glittered, and I was like, really?
No way.
He's like, yeah, my brother went there, and, like, it's a really great school, I think you'll really like it. And I'm like, okay, why not, full send. And I applied, and I genuinely didn't think, not that I didn't think I was gonna get in, but I was like, this is like a Hail Mary. Like, we'll see if I get there. And when I opened it up, like, I don't even.
Okay, walk us through that moment.
I don't even. So they send you, like, this email, and it's like, I think it's decision day. So everyone that's, like, applied to, this may be wrong because sometimes my memory is a little fuzzy and I create stories, but like, decision day, I think everyone gets an email, and you're either told if you are accepted, if you're denied, or if you're put on, like, the wait list. So I remember getting that email.
Where were you?
I don't know.
Like, oh, okay. Okay.
Not like I just remember sitting in front of the computer, opening up the email, and there's just confetti on my screen. And it's confetti, and they start playing music, and they're like, congratulations, you got accepted. And I'm like, and I'm sure if you look on TikTok, like, you'll see, like, or videos, people have videos of this, like, that's quite literally how your acceptances go. And I don't think I told anyone. Like, I was just like, huh?
is this real? Like, I literally was just like, I don't, what? Like, I genuinely have no idea what happened after that. I just remember I got accepted and I like didn't believe it. And I was just, I went about my day. And then I think I told my parents at night and was like, yeah, I think I'm going here. Like, I genuinely, to this day, like, I probably need to hit up my family and be like, guys, how did that get that day go? Because I don't know. Like, because it just felt so out of reach that, like, for it. For
That's crazy that it felt out of reach for you.
Because, like, think about Manchester or our high school. Think about where we went, right? Like, it wasn't horrible, but it wasn't anything. You know, I had grown up going to, like, Wayne and, like, other towns where their high school experience is very different. And they have all these, like, crazy classes to take. And they do all these extra things outside. And, like, my SAT score, like, I had to get tutored for my SAT because that was really hard for me. And, like, so not that I didn't have a great score, but it wasn't, like, top. So in my head, I'm, like, the creme de la creme go to these class, like these universities, you know, like I'm lucky if I can even step foot on the campus.
Yes,
you know,
okay.
Like, that's what my brain was. Not that I wasn't working hard in school, I just felt like maybe my experience was not as rigorous as others, mm-hmm. you know. And that's where the imposter syndrome comes in again. Like, I'm not supposed to go there, you know, like okay. I don't see women like me here. Like, it's a very different life. So yeah, it felt really out of reach, but ooh, that day was crazy. I all I can tell you, like, when I tell you, it's a blur because now all I remember is just being at the university.
Yeah.
And like doubting myself there and then being like, okay, now I graduated and now I'm a nurse. And you know, it's just like, it just feels like life has moved so fast.
Yeah. And those were some rigorous 4 years because from what I remember, she just, the workload, I mean, I take my hat off to any kid that goes to college college in general, no matter if it's an Ivy League or not, it's going to be challenging. It's going to be it's going to be much more than just academic struggle. You know, there's part of you that's homesick, there's part of you that's confused, there's parts of you that go through things in college that break you down. But I will say that the pressure, especially from nursing programs, imagine, for instance, just imagine you go to maybe Rutgers or Temple or LaSalle or whatever, and the nursing program is already intense there.
Right.
Imagine a nursing program in Ivy League. She never had free time. It was nonstop work. I don't even know how you pulled through.
Bro, like, I think that's why, like, even getting accepted is so blurry because everything, I'm just covering my face, guys, because, like, it was a beautiful experience, but at the same time, like, it tested every single limit that I have. Like, even now, I want to cry because it's a lot. But college in general is a lot. But I think also coming in with, like, I'm not supposed to be here, not just because, like, first of all, for anyone listening, like, you deserve to be wherever you want to go. Like, no one should limit that. But I think that's how I, like, for example, when I got accepted, I was told, oh, it's because she's a Latina that she got accepted. And like that, like,
yeah. Oh, like they need that on their roster.
Yeah. Like, just, I don't know, just basically everything that I did didn't matter. It was just like, there's only one reason that you're there, and that's because they need diversity. So to people that you look up to telling that to you, though there's other people cheering you on, like, that's going to be the loudest voice. So for anyone that's listening, like, you can do whatever the heck you want to do. And like, all those outside voices, some aren't there to cheer you on. So just kind of keep that in the back of your mind, especially if you're in like high school age, because it's a hard time. I just want to put that out there because I don't want to talk negative about this entire experience because I think that like it made me who I am. But it's not something that I take lightly.
Yeah, it wasn't easy.
Yeah.
It wasn't easy. And the outside voices definitely tried tearing you down. Right. And, you know, I think there was a lot of people who, maybe not a lot of people, but just some people around you that were so envious of that opportunity
that they probably just wanted you to crumble during that time. And I don't know if you felt the outside pressure. I don't know if you felt pressure from your parents to finish and graduate.
Yeah.
Like, were you afraid of failing? Did you?
Oh, my gosh. My fear of failure is, to this day, like, through the roof. Literally, I'm in therapy working through it, you know, because to be a kid that's like, you have to get straight A's, and if you get a B, you're crying at home like, I don't know what happened, you know, like, I did the best I could. And not to say that my parents weren't happy, they're just like, okay, well, next time, you know, you can do better, you know, like, so that constant, like, I can do better, I can do better, I can do better, makes failure almost seem closer than success for me.
Okay.
So yeah. Sorry, I lost my train of thought a little bit.
It's okay. So going back to your experience in UPenn, what are three words that you can say that describe that experience?
Let me think about this.
Okay.
Out of body, for sure. Like, that was an out of body experience. That's one. Two, I think opportunity. Like, one thing I will never say about my college experience is that I wasn't exposed to the world. Like, I feel like I was given so many opportunities to try new things and to, like, grow myself as a person. I very much am very grateful for that. And lastly, word to describe. Exhausting. Woof. That, like, washed over me, that word. Like, I remember graduating and, like, feeling like I could finally breathe. And also graduating during COVID. Imagine that. Like, but finally breathing is crazy.
Oh, my God.
4 years of feeling at the neck.
Like, yeah.
You could literally fail at any moment is really what it felt like for 4 years.
That was a great day.
Whoa.
I was there.
Yeah.
I was there at the graduation. It was amazing. I felt so proud. I've always felt so proud of you. I'm like your biggest fan.
Yes.
Because it's a huge accomplishment, you know? Like, it's a huge accomplishment. And for anyone to try and belittle that or take that away from you, like, it's so freaking hard. Like, to the point where you don't even look like yourself again.
Yes.
Because of the stress and the amount of changes that take over.
Like,
and the one thing that I was so big on during our college years was mental health, because I didn't think we would ever be so mentally affected by, you know, our environment. And when you finally go to college and you learn about suicides and depressions and anxieties, and you find that the list for on-campus counseling is on a wait list.
Yeah.
You have to wait months, or you'll probably never even get a chance to speak to a counselor. And then you ask yourself, okay, well, these are great schools, but why are they not offering the right resources? Why at UPenn did they have to create these huge walls where the students walk over the train tracks, because people have thrown themselves because of the stress?
Yeah.
You know,
not even just the students, like, this is a crazy thing to say, and I don't know if you're going to want to include it, but, like, I remember it was around senior year that the head of CAFS, which is, like, basically the head of the mental health services that they offer, I think it's, like, counseling and psychological services, actually chose to end his life.
So while you were in school?
While I was in school. Mm-hmm. So that,
at school?
And I'm pretty sure it was around COVID time. I'm pretty sure, because I just remember it, like, being, like, a smack in the face. Like, it's not just students. It's people of all ages.
Wow.
That are feeling the pressure in this environment, you know? And, like, it is never, never worth it. But, like, to know that people feel it's their only option and you're in the same environment as these same people is, like, wow. You know, I never even looked for therapy services in college, because it felt so out of reach. Like, first, you don't even know what you're doing. And then it's
they try to offer it to you as best as they can. But like you said, there's not that many opportunities.
No.
And again, there's not that many people that I felt would relate to me. Though most of us were going through the same experiences, it just felt like, this is only me. Like, I figure this out on my own. And, like, that's the worst mindset to put yourself in. Because being in college setting, like, it's all about community, in my opinion. Like, I think my community is the only reason that I fully made it. In all aspects. I love my friends.
Like, your sorority?
My sorority, my boyfriend at the time, my friends, like, my family. I had a great support system. And I think that, I don't think about this often. Ooh, sorry, I don't think about this often because it makes me feel like this.
Yeah.
But those are good emotions, you know?
It's really, really good. And it's something that, like, I want people to take away from this in a way. Like, community is really everything.
I just want to give you a second. Like, I want to give my props to Yancy.
Here I go crying.
No, because when Yancy was talking about how she's always been my biggest, like, supporter, like, always proud of me and rooting me on, like, I don't think you understand. Like, all 4 years, it was always positive vibes from Yancy. It was always like, we got this, bro. Like, Philly's ours. Like, we're going to get through this, you know? To the point where we both graduated in COVID and, you know, neither of us had a ceremony, and yet I come out the day that I graduate and Yancy brings me a basket, a literal basket to celebrate the fact that, like, we graduated, like, just to have someone in your corner the whole time and to see it through and to see both of us get to the other side. Like, and not even then, even when we had our actual ceremony in 2022, you still coming out. You still trying to be there.
Like, yeah.
That just is a testament to Yancy and just how much she cares for the people around her, but also how much community means to you, too.
Yeah.
We need to have each other. We need to have each other's back. Like, it's a hard world out there, you know?
Yeah. I used to be, here I go. I used to really struggle with my anxiety in college, and my best, oh my god, see, I put on mascara, bro.
That's not oh, yeah.
I put on mascara and it's washing away. But I'm just trying to find my words here.
It's a hard time to talk about. It's just seriously,
yeah, I went through, Jesus. I'm such a girl right now, guys.
It's okay. Safe. We're in a safe space.
I went through a really hard breakup in college, and I just kept wanting to run to Twin. So, I don't know. I don't know what I would have done, but I remember going. She wasn't even around. I would just text her and say, I need to get out of here because everything reminded me of this person. Yeah. That's where I met him, and that's where we shared so many moments. So I would just escape, and I would go to her school, and she would let me, you know, go into the study rooms and her apartment, and I would sit there, and I would be there all day. And her school had really great views of the city, so I would just watch them cry, and it's been like that the last 7 years.
literally
I have been,
I wish I had tissues, my bad.
It's okay. I have been going through the same situation for the last 7 years, which is what makes this trip so significant, because that person is from this city.
Yeah.
And every time I would come here, it would be more so to see, I would always try and see Twin, but I would also try and see him. Most of my time would go to him.
Right.
And it's kind of crappy to think about the fact that I would do that, you know, like, I wouldn't spend as much time. I know you're going to say, like, no,
But it just sucks. It sucks that a place can be tainted. You know, like, Philly's a big reminder of my past relationship with said person. It's also a big reminder for Twin, because, like she said, she had a boyfriend during those years. She had a boyfriend for a really long time. So that city is what reminds us of those moments and of so many people that are just not with us anymore, or more so on my end. And then now this city is another one, but it's like we always have each other. And as long as we have each other, all of that other stuff, it just seems like we can overcome it, you know? Like, because we're never really alone.
We can rewrite what these places mean to us and, like, define it for ourselves.
Yeah.
Because we're different people. We're 7 years ago, we were so different. Like, I talk about this all the time. Like, Yancy and I have known each other since high school. Like, I think you're also the longest person in my life that has seen me from high school to now.
Yeah, like, we were 15.
Yes. Yeah, like, what?
And
we're 27 now. But seriously, like, that's a wild thing to have and to, like, to just be able to turn to. I remember in college, like, telling to my college friends that I was like, you know what? Like, I genuinely think Yancy's the only one that, like, really knows me in this city, because I didn't know who I was in college. Like, you know, you're just about school.
A robot.
So, a robot. You're just getting things done and, like, trying to make it to the next day, for real. So to have someone that, like, can ground you and you can just be your full self with is something that's, like, unreal, and, like, just irreplaceable.
Yeah.
So I'm really grateful that, like, we have continued that same theme, like, constantly reminding ourselves, like, who we are and, you know, never judging where we're at. Like,
yeah,
talking it through and just being like, you know what? We're going to be better tomorrow, or things are going to change tomorrow, or this city is going to mean something different to us by the end of this trip. Like, always just looking for what's next.
Yeah. And the importance of community, to close on that, is so, so, so important. But to be honest, what I've noticed from it throughout the years, when you crumble, it's so vulnerable to crumble around everyone.
Yes.
And there's certain people where you don't want to crumble in front of, because some people can't handle it. They don't know what to say, or they don't know how to comfort you, or they just don't know.
Or they overcompensate, you know, like,
yes.
You're like, let me, you know, and it's like, I don't need that.
Exactly. So when you find someone that you can crumble in front of, right, like, to the point where I'm walking through the door and I'm falling on the floor crying because I literally can't. Mm-hmm. And to just feel that that person can literally pull you out of that, mm-hmm, it's so hard to find.
It's really, like, I don't know how I've been lucky enough to keep people,
yeah,
like that in my life, but I'm so grateful.
Yeah.
I'm just so grateful. Like,
me too.
Unreal, like, blessing.
Yeah. And so many people don't have that.
No.
Like, your best friend, Danny, yeah, you know, your sisters from the sorority, mm-hmm, me, your sister herself.
Shout out to that.
Like, there's just all these amazing, great people that no matter how hard the situation is, you know, you can call any one of us and we're going to just be there. Like, okay, what's wrong?
Right.
Let's figure it out together. Mm-hmm. I have the same type of support system, but it's so sad to think about people that don't have that.
And it's not something that I think I talk about this with my friends from college all the time. It's not something that I think is very focused on anymore. It's very much like me, myself, and I, like, individualistic society, like, I don't need anyone to succeed. And it's like, that has never been true. That's never been further from the truth, even now. And I think that, like, it's just really, I just want us to all get back to, like, we do need each other.
Yeah, it takes a village.
It takes a village. Like, I don't know. I think about all my friends everywhere. Like, I don't think anyone lives. I have my coworkers, of course, but, like, no one really lives in this area. So,
yeah,
it's just one of those things that, like, to still feel supported even throughout different states, like, that doesn't just happen overnight.
And no.
I do think that, like,
it gets lost very easily.
Like, yeah.
It really focuses on that.
There's definitely a lot of talks that I've had recently on the podcast that stem to what people are trying to make society look like for us today. And what you just brought up is so true. Also, some of the like strong women in society things are just a little too much sometimes, you know? Like, I am probably biased because I am a woman, but I will say, like, women are amazing and we're wonderful creatures and this world cannot run without us.
Absolutely not.
But we also need men. And I'm not saying we need men for intimacy and because we want to get married. No, just in general, like, we are both a balance of each other. And, yeah, we're going to root on women until the end of the day, but a woman doesn't have to be, like, her main support, and she doesn't have to do it alone, and she doesn't have to be this, like, I don't know, this, they just make it seem nowadays that we are just, like, we are a do-it-all.
And it's, like, I think it, on the flip side as well, like, men and men not needing women, you know what I mean? Like, I genuinely feel like we all need each other. Like, that's like the bottom line. Like, we all learn from each other in different ways. We all have different strengths. Like,
yeah.
And it's, again, it's not just, it's relationships in general. It's not,
yes,
it's not just love. It's not just like family. It's like friendships. It's all things. Like, we genuinely need each other to just get through this world. Like,
yeah,
you know, like, I talk, we were talking about mental health in college and everything like that, and how I didn't seek therapy, and I didn't seek therapy for a couple years after, but I'm so grateful that I did, and I've been in therapy now for about 3 years almost. Oh my goodness, 3 years. Three's my number.
Really?
Yeah, three's like one of my favorite numbers. But anyway, something she was mentioning was the loneliness epidemic. Speak.
Sorry. The Ivy League pressure.
I'm sorry. No, I'm kidding. But the loneliness epidemic in this age group of us, like the mid to late 20s,
crazy.
But seriously, like, there are so many of us that, like, we just don't have people around us. And, you know, for the most part, it's like one of the most deadly things for us, because genuinely, like, feeling alone and feeling like you have no one is probably top three worst feelings in the world. And I just genuinely think that, like, if we switch our idea of, like, I have to go through this by myself and just let love in, like, let whoever wants to support you in.
Yes.
Men, women, everyone, just let people in.
Yeah.
It's all we need is a little bit of uplifting when our brain is taking over and telling us, like, we can't do this, or all these negatives. Like, sometimes you need those outside voices to recenter you and ground you.
Yeah.
And get you to the next day.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it's very unrealistic to me to think that we have to strive alone and we have to do all these things alone.
Right.
Because there's so many people on this planet. So why do you feel alone if there's, like, Seven billion. This number.
Seven.
I'm sorry. If there's billions of people on this earth, there is no need to be alone.
No.
And no need.
We need to change the rhetoric around it. Like, this, like, individualist.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's incredible to know that you made it where you are by yourself, however you, like, that there is value,
yeah,
you know, your strength and your resilience and all the things, but at the end of the day, like, you want to celebrate that with someone next to you, or
exactly,
you want to be able to, like, just let people love you.
Yeah,
you
let know? People in.
Yeah,
let people in. I think the beautiful thing about my podcast is that it's pretty much a public journal of
talking.
Me and a friend, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's me having real conversations with one of my friends, and it shows how influential and how positive you guys are to my life.
So many different views on things, and I think we, like, evolve as people that way.
Yes, we do.
Be stuck in one way.
Exactly.
Like, there are so many ways to be.
So many different ways, and there's no way that I'm just going to sit around and think that I have to suffer alone and figure it out all alone. when I have a community to go to, you know? And sometimes growing up, my mom will always say, you know, she will always say, like, there are no friends in life. And you always kind of hear that in our culture. I don't know about your culture, like being Dominican and Honduran, but Colombians, I don't know why that's their favorite thing to say. And I kind of get what she says, because there are a lot of friends, quote unquote, that are no longer in my life.
Right.
So I think whoever's in my life present day is really just an extension of my family. Mm-hmm. I don't really consider you guys friends. You know, I think we're really past that.
I get that.
I think a friend and is like an acquaintance. Like,
right.
You know, I wouldn't really call you for everything. But if I'm calling you for everything, you're my family.
Right.
Because
no, that's so real.
That's a different type of like intimate relationship to have with someone. Like it's vulnerable. It's very much, I don't give every single part of me to everyone.
Yeah.
But when she says that, I'm just like, I don't know. I kind of disagree, because I think I have a huge, amazing, great support system, and I'm gonna want to go to them. I'm gonna want to see what Twin's opinion is on this, and then maybe I'll want to call Vanessa and like get her point of view, and maybe Casey will have a better point of view after that.
Yeah.
But that all helps me come up with my own.
Right.
Right. And it's like, I hate when she puts like that pressure on me that, you know, you shouldn't overshare, you shouldn't this and that, but I couldn't be here. Like, I know it takes us at the end of the day to pull ourselves out of our funk.
Absolutely.
But I wouldn't be here if it weren't for the immense and tremendous support that I have. I mean, when I was ready to just die about what now, I think it's almost been like 3 years almost, or 2.5. I don't know. I try not to think about that. But it wasn't if it wasn't for you guys, I don't know. Obviously, you guys and my family.
Absolutely.
But you are my family.
Right.
So that, I wouldn't be here. Like, I would not be here. We would be having completely different, well, I wouldn't be here, so we would not be having conversation, but
exactly.
That's crazy to think about, you know?
A weird perspective to have, that, like, so many people can be so influential in your life and can really take things from like horrible to like okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, as long as I can just have someone to lean on, or I can talk to you, like, I'm okay. Like, that, it's scary.
Yeah.
Almost have that, like, people to have that much influence on you. And I feel like that's where your mom and like the cultural thought of like, you don't have friends around you, because we are human. None of us are perfect, right? So like, jealousy is always a thing. Like you mentioned, envy can be a thing. Like, just saying the wrong thing or arguing, like, it's part of the human experience.
Yeah.
Nothing's ever going to be rainbows and sunshines all the time. But I think that's what also elevates friendship, when you can go through these hardships together and come out on the other side and, like, both be different.
Yeah.
And both learn from it. And I consider myself lucky to be around my friends when they're not having the best day.
Yeah.
Like, you trust me enough to let me in, to let me, like, do what I can to pull you out of whatever you're going through.
Yeah, and that's power.
It is. It is. It's incredible, like, that we can have that much impact on each other.
Yeah.
It's not something to take lightly, but it's also something that people fear, I think, because being vulnerable, like you mentioned, is a scary thing.
It's hard.
It's a scary, scary thing. And I think a lot of our culture, just Latinos in general, like, I think a lot of us are in survival mode. Like, I mean, my parents didn't grow up here, so they're in survival mode. They were in survival mode as soon as they got here. And
yeah,
now
always.
They made it to the other side, but like, that's still a part of them.
Mm-hmm.
They're still afraid that, like, this person could do me harm.
Yeah.
So I do think that, like, it's definitely throughout many cultures, and it's,
yeah,
that, I don't know, it takes a lot to be vulnerable and just let people in and let down your guard.
Yeah. I definitely think that's where my mom comes with it, mm-hmm. and my dad too.
Mm-hmm.
But as we've also been talking about throughout this podcast, as a whole, our generation is so, so emotionally aware that it's people like us that have these mindsets and can openly have these conversations that are making it okay for everyone to know, like, we grew up maybe on survival mode, but we don't always have to live that way, you know? Like we said, let people in. In previous episodes, we talked about the art of not giving a damn.
Yeah.
Like, just don't care. Just live for you. Let people in. Focus on your community. Have a community. Build a community.
Yeah, it's okay to make mistakes, you know?
Yeah.
There's so many. Like, we're human. At the end of the day, nothing's ever going to be perfect.
No. And life was not written out to be followed a perfect way.
No.
Okay?
There's no... I wish there was. There's no manual, guys.
Like, no. Like, every day is a new thing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even going back to the whole thing of, like, me growing up, like, you'd be nothing without a degree. I don't know if that's true for everyone. Like, everyone has their own path. And again, very grateful for my parents who instilled the, like, how important in education and exposing yourself to the world is. But I don't think that, like, we have to put ourselves in this, like, checklist of, like, I did this, now I'm successful.
Yeah.
Then when you check all those boxes, what's next?
Yeah.
What's next?
Like, it doesn't have to be a big thing to consider yourself successful, you know? We have to stop thinking that you have to reach the top of the top to matter.
Right.
Like, you matter just waking up every day and choosing to be a good person.
Yeah. That's literally
that's success.
That's all it is.
That is all that matters. There's a big importance that I've been feeling lately about celebrating the little things.
Yes.
And I think that's because, like you, I also grew up in a strict household. And a 95 wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
A 90 wasn't good enough. Mm-hmm. An 85 was, oh my gosh, how dare you bring this home?
No straight A's. Let's go talk to the teacher.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. So we grew up with all this pressure that you saw it, twin, when I lost my apartment, when I went through my eviction, which every time I talk about my stuff, everyone at the end goes, when are you going to have an episode about your life? Because everyone just knows these snips of you. I'll probably have my sister interview me one day.
I love that. Please do.
Because I definitely have to share a lot. But when I went through my eviction, and yes, I am 27 and I went through an eviction, okay? That is what bad decisions will lead you towards.
And that's one part of your story. That's not all.
Yes.
Still, look where you are now.
Yes. I mean, we're constantly working on it, but feeling that failure took everything from me. Guys, you would have thought that I murdered someone. I felt so incredibly low. I felt like I failed everybody, because I've always been a good student. Mm-hmm. I've always been very interactive in school stuff. I've always been a good person, to be honest. I mean, I would like to say I'm a good person. And I've always been that friend to a lot of my friends that are, like, that friend you tell your parents about.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, there's, my parents are going to like her. Like, she's the friend I can bring home. Yes. I'll bring her home. So for me to fail and, you know, do what I did and go through my eviction and have to come home and tell my parents that, it felt crazy. Like, I never understood how much pressure and how much of a bully I can be to myself until I went through that situation. And now I celebrate the little things, you know. I celebrate waking up and deciding to eat good that day, you know, have a healthy meal. I celebrate going to the gym. I celebrate doing a skincare routine. I mean, I may not make six figures, like, I want to make six figures, and more, obviously, because we're gonna get there. Okay, I had a setback, but trust me, I'm gonna get there. No, but seriously. So I put less pressure and I celebrate every day as I go. Yeah. Because there is absolutely no need to put so much pressure on just you. But I had so many outside voices that are like that. Yeah. And they live their life anxiously and tense because it's always, I have to get the bag. I have to get the bag. I have to get the bag. And it's like, I want the bag. Don't get me wrong. Yes, of course, I want to live comfortably. I want to have children. I want to have this. I want to travel.
Of course, we all have
problems. Yeah, but that's... That doesn't define
me
or my happiness, you know? Right. I'm so happy going through my struggle, you know? I may not be rich right now and, you know, money gets tight here and there and I'm evolving and I'm growing and I'm trying to find my path, which essentially it would be for someone to listen to this and email me and say, hey, I want to sign your podcast. And then I'll be like, there we go. We did it.
Necessary, yeah.
Exactly. But for right now, it's okay, let's just stay consistent. Let's keep going to work, evolve in work, grow, learn.
Do what I love.
And I have never feared trying a new job. I mean, and that's an important quality that I've learned about myself recently. I've never feared away from working wherever I need to work. And I think that's power.
Yes. You excel no matter where you are.
Yeah. Like, I make it happen.
And that's the key. It's how well you can adapt to your environment.
Yes.
And make that your own. And to, even if it's a part of your story, like, make it the next stepping stone to what you're going towards.
And that's success.
And that's success. That's it. Like, I think that we all just have so much pressure. Like, I think I genuinely see all over Twitter and stuff that, like, everyone in their late 20s, like, literally feel like the world is ending because they haven't reached whatever, like, checklist they have for each other and for themselves. And I think I get it because, like, I'm literally actively trying to just live day by day and trying to just be proud of myself for, like, what I have accomplished and what I continue to learn about myself. Like,
yeah.
And again, success looks differently for everyone. Like, we cannot just look at somebody and be like, I want that exact same life.
Yeah.
We don't have the exact same story.
Yeah.
So how am I going to be you?
Exactly.
I can't.
Yeah. And stop making the checklist with time frames.
Yes.
Okay. If I could go back and tell little Yancy, forget about getting married by 25, forget about having kids, and forget about being a doctor. Just figure. But see, that's what I'm saying. If I had someone say that to me, but it was always, you have to be a doctor. You have to get married. You have to have kids. And if I just had someone say, girl, forget about that. Just
life out.
Figure it out as you go.
Yeah.
Get good grades. You know, make sure you go to a good school if that's what you want to do. And just figure it out as you go. But don't put these unrealistic expectations of you, because when you don't reach them, you're going to feel like crap.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't feel that way.
Yeah.
Because as much as me and Twin can sit here and say, wow, you know, we met people that we probably thought we were going to be with forever. And we thought by now we'd get married and, you know, I wanted to be a doctor and she became a nurse, but maybe she's feeling, like just all these things. And now our mentality has completely changed and it's okay. Like, okay, yes, we're 27 and we're single. Okay, you know, we're not the only ones. And women also, with the crazy amount of pressure on having children, it's like we're on this taking time bomb. The amount of questions I get all the time, when are you going to have a kid? And it's like,
can we not?
Because to be honest, I am so, as much as I have always said and will always say, I can't wait to be a mom. I am so grateful that I am not a mom right now.
I don't think it was meant for it to be in my story right now.
Yeah.
And I know why. Girl, you saw my fridge. Like, who's feeding a child with my fridge right now? Not me. Like, there's still so much to learn. And I, like, power to all the young parents. Like,
yes,
genuinely think that, like, it is a life-changing experience that I cannot weight to have.
Yes.
And it is not easy by any means. But right now, I think, at least for me and my story, I didn't know who I was for a full 4 years of college. I just went day by day just trying to get a good grade. So to feel like my life had just started when I started living my adulthood, like,
yeah,
what?
Even though it started after COVID.
Yes.
So that was the craziest
way
for us to start adulthood.
That's a whole other podcast. Just COVID and its effects on, like, us. But seriously, like, I don't know, man. It takes a lot. It takes a lot to know who you are and to be able to raise a human. And we were talking about this earlier. So,
yeah,
I think we need to put a lot of thought behind what it takes to raise a child and know that when you're not ready. And I know I'm not ready right now. And
yeah,
I can't wait to be ready. And I'm actively working towards it. But
yeah, I definitely think there's qualities of me that are ready.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other ones that I still have to get better at before I devote myself into raising and pouring into another human.
And I think this is almost like a side tangent, but I don't think we're ever ready. Like, it almost goes back to what we're talking about, having a checklist and, like, being ready. And, you know, no one's ever ready. And I think that regardless, we will be great moms whenever that
happens.
But I do feel like I just want more time with me. Right now. That's what I mean by not ready, because at the end of the day, there's just so much to life. And
yeah,
I can't wait to share that with another human.
Mm-hmm.
And a baby, all the things. But right now I'm learning so much about me, and I'm very proud of this chapter of my life.
Yeah, me too. I think we both have stepped into amazing chapters in our life. A lot has happened.
Yeah.
We are, you know, starting to close in on our 20s. And I think how we're feeling is exactly how we should be feeling as we get ready to enter a new decade in just a few years. So I think we're doing pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing amazing, to be honest.
Cheers to that.
And I think the biggest point I wanted to make in this podcast is on just appreciating, like we said, the small things, appreciating what you've done, appreciating your life, and taking away that pressure on how to live life. We focus so much on the pressure and the outside voices that we just don't even live. We don't even live in the moment because we're always thinking, oh, what if this happens? Or what if this person finds out? Or what if they say this? Just stop.
Chasing all these things, you literally lose yourself. Like, you have to put yourself in the focus.
Yeah.
You're going through life and being like, what do I want? What do I love? What is it about life that I want to get out?
Yeah.
Like, why I want to get out of life? That's really, like, the most important question. And all of the other things that come, all the other, you know, the graduating college, having a successful job, eventually getting married, and all these things, they're just add-ins to what you
exactly
want.
Yeah.
Like, it's all about just putting yourself first for a little bit and really just closing out those outside voices.
Yeah.
Like, saying, because everyone's going to have an opinion. But at the
everyone's end, always going to have an opinion.
Your own opinion is the one that matters.
Exactly.
You know what makes you happy.
So everyone needs to just focus on their community, focus on trying every resource that you probably have to make yourself feel better. I mean, Twin is not the first person to say it on this pod, but there are other people that have been in therapy and have spoken about the positive effects. So forget about what anybody has to say. Find your therapist, talk to your therapist, you know, go for a walk, try a new hobby, go to the gym, try eating better, because what you put into your body really is what makes you feel good. It's so important. And travel. Twin has traveled tremendously.
Working on more. I'm not there yet.
Yes, she is working on more. But she has treated herself, because she's worked really hard, and she works really hard in her career every day. So when she has a moment, she enjoys it. And that's all it's about. Just, I know there's There's just so many young kids that are growing up in this messed up world. And a lot of us need to have more of these conversations. And I'm so glad that we're able to have them, because it's a lot of, there's a lot of lost minds walking around loose every day.
I think
people's mental is down the gutter.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so many things happening in this world that are terrifying. And I think that, like, everyone is just, like, looking for love, for real. Like,
yeah, for comfort.
Comfort and love, and, like, really just trying to hopefully be the best version of themselves. And that's not always the easiest.
No, it's definitely not the easiest, but we can do it. We can do it together. And I think the more craziness that happens in the world for me shows me how fearful and anxious we are getting. Like, for every crazy thing a human that happens in the world, the human will get more fearful and more anxious.
Yeah.
And when you see that, you can see how much that takes away from someone living their best life.
Right.
So to me, it's not about the checklist anymore. It's about just making it through the day.
Literally.
You know?
Literally.
Like, life is so unpredictable, and the times that we're in are very scary. And, you know, I'm not going to get into politics, but that in itself is already a lot going on across the world. So many countries are going through so many things, and social media is ruining us. So as much as we have a voice, we have to continue to use that voice and spread, like, the awareness of, you know what, we could get bombed, to be honest, whenever a country could just say, it's over, I'm done arguing with said person. You know, humans are crazy that way. And I'm tired of wasting my life feeling all this pressure on how to make it.
Exactly.
You know, when I know that I'll make it if I just stay at the pace that I'm at right now.
Right. And honestly, like, I just genuinely think, like, tomorrow, like you said, is not promised. So, and there's so many things that are just out of our control in general. So I think the only way to feel a sense of security is to control the things that you can.
Yeah.
And the one things that you can control are the things that make you happy, or
exactly
what you're doing in life, and like how much love is around you, and like things that you genuinely can curate and bring for yourself. So it is a scary world out there, but we just have to, you know, take it day by day.
Yeah.
And like fill our cup with the things that
make you feel good. Just what makes you feel good, man. Just live a righteous, good life and just fall into your community.
Yeah.
That's all I can honestly say. I wouldn't be who I am without my people.
Agreed. I have nothing without my community. Shout out to y'all for reals.
Yeah. Shout out to every single one of you guys.
You are.
Thank you for being there and pushing me, always pushing me. There's so many people in my life that have such high hopes for this podcast.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. I'm not conceited. I'm not a conceited person. I'm very humble. So stepping into this new, like, industry, because I've never done anything like this before, mm-hmm. except send you guys voice notes.
Ah, we love those.
my friends get their own personal podcast of me, because
we're so lucky.
I'm the voice note queen.
She's fire.
Yes. I love when they start sending me some back, because I'm like, yes, we freaking normalized it. Like, it's okay. But yeah, I mean, I've just had a lot of positive feedback, a lot of this is exactly what you should be doing. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy to think that when I was younger, I was like, I'm gonna be an ER doctor. Like, I'm gonna be a trauma physician, definitely. That's my life. That's what I wanna do. And as much as I love medicine, it's crazy that this is what I'm good at.
But I mean, like, all
like,
things
just grab
can
a mic.
be true. All things can be true, girl. Like, we have so many layers to our
skills. Yeah.
And it's incredible how many things that we can succeed at when we do what we love.
I know.
Like, you are so good at just having conversations with people. Like, this podcast has been so refreshing to just listen to, and I'm really grateful to be on it because, I mean, I love to talk. And it's so nice to hear other people talking. I don't feel like, I mean, now we're just seeing people type and their Instagram stories and this and that. We don't hear people as
well. Yeah.
We don't always stop and have conversations with strangers, you know? So, like, just things like that where these people I may have never met before, you know?
Yeah.
Friends. But now I know things about them. I'm like, this is so cool. Like, yeah, I agree with you. You know, I'm happy to do the podcast as if we're talking all together. You know?
Exactly.
It's
That's the best feedback I've gotten is when people think or feel as though they're in the room with me and the person I'm speaking to.
I'll be walking home from work like, yeah, absolutely. Or like laughing. People looking at me crazy. Like, this is so fun. Like, it's really.
Yeah.
You've created this space. And like, I am just so proud of you that you feel as fulfilled as you fulfilling other people.
Yeah. So. I remember the last time that I saw Mo. One of the last things he said to me, well, one of the things that he said to me was that I need to be more confident in my ideas. And I really, really have been thinking about that. And he's right, you know, because I've always talked about this idea.
Yeah.
Obviously, because I knew it was something I could do. And I do it every day just without a mic.
Yeah.
Like, you put me wherever and I will speak to whoever I need to speak to. Trust me.
It's okay. I will, like, find out everything I need to know about that person.
Like, the other day, I was talking to a coworker. I was just helping him out, like, do something. Mm. And in 3 minutes, I found out how he is struggling having a child with his wife. Like, I've never spoken to this man. All I've ever said is good morning. But I was helping him with something, and we were talking, and he's like, yeah, you know, I'm just going with the conversation. I'm like, oh, like, it kind of stemmed with him not being a morning person.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, are you not sleeping at night? And he's like, no, I sleep pretty well. I'm like, do you sleep alone? And he's like, no, I sleep with my wife. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And like, does she sleep well? Like, I'm just talking.
Questions out there.
Yeah. And then it just went from that to actually, like, we've been trying really hard for the past 3 to 5 years to have a child, and it's just not working. And we've tried it all. And it just got so personal.
Yeah.
In my head, I'm like,
but
how do I know this already? You know, there's so many people at work that will be like, oh, I don't know anything about that person. And in my head, I'm like,
I know so much.
Dang.
But I've said this to you before. Like, isn't it incredible to be able to create such a space where people just willingly able to say whatever they need to say and just like know that you're gonna listen and just feel safe? Like,
it's
not a quality that everyone has, and like to transmit that into a podcast as well, like, these are beautiful, beautiful things. Like, you know, like, we know how I feel about everything that Mo said, but the whole thing about like confidence in your ideas, like, you are an incredible person. And I think that, like, the people in our lives come through for certain reasons and for, they all have a purpose. And I genuinely think that, like, your purpose in life is to make people feel comfortable.
Yeah.
To really just, like, have them open up and be ready to talk. And again, like, that's incredible. And
yeah,
I genuinely, like, I
that's really my gift.
Hey, that's your gift.
That's really my gift.
It's a gift.
And I'm really zoning in on that gift.
Right.
I think that's my purpose, you know? And I love that a lot of the times when I have these podcasts, either when I'm editing it later on or just right after,
mm-hmm.
either the person who did it with me will go on their whole day thinking about what they said. And they'll text me later and say, wow, I thought a lot about what we spoke about earlier. But it's crazy because we're close friends, so we already talk a lot.
Yeah.
But it's just something different about talking about specific things that we don't normally touch on. Like, I don't talk to you every day and say, oh, like, do you remember Penn? Like, how was that for you?
Like, I'd be crying all the time. No, like, it caught me off guard that I was crying because I'm like, wow, I really haven't talked about this in a while.
Yeah.
I haven't talked about it in this stage of my life, like, reflecting back.
Yeah, and it's powerful.
I mean, my friends from college and I, we avoid it because now we want to talk about our lives now and all the things and not the past, but, like, it's really important.
Yeah, it is important. Things, you know? And when you cry about it and you just think, you feel so good about it because it's over with and you're still on your two feet.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
It's almost like a cry of, like, wow, like, I'm here today because of that experience.
Yeah.
I am who I am, but that did not fully define me, you know?
No.
I mean, it's just, like you mentioned, or like we mentioned earlier, like, it's just a stage in our life to get us to the next spot.
Exactly. It's a part of our story.
It's a part of our story.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why you have to make good decisions, because you want to make sure that when you talk about your life, you have a lot more good parts of your story than bad parts.
And you know what? Like, the bad parts have a place too. Like, we it's okay to make mistakes. Like, I think that's been the most freeing thing for me, that, like, I don't have to be perfect.
Same.
I can make things, like, do things wrong. And I can, unfortunately, like, unwillingly, like, maybe hurt someone's feelings or do something that, like, I didn't think I would do, you know? But it's, again, how you come back from that.
Yeah.
How you learn from those experiences.
Exactly. Are you going to learn from it and just keep pushing on? Or are you going to let it define you and deteriorate you and make you crumble to the ground?
Exactly. We're multifaceted and we can't put ourselves in a box. Like, we just have to let ourselves be. And again, just strive to be good people.
Like, exactly.
Strive to make a positive impact as best as we can, and with our skills, with our talents. Like,
yeah.
It's just really inspiring to watch people go after the things that they're passionate about.
And it is
really fulfilled in my career. Like, I know that I was meant to be a nurse, and I know that. But
yeah,
to watch people do things outside of their career, it's like, you know, they're just doing things that they know they're good at. Like, that's what I want. That's what I want to strive for as well. Like,
yeah,
I want to have more that fills my cup, you know?
Exactly.
And there's always going to be more that we want. And it's just beautiful to be inspired by the people around you.
Yeah, it is very beautiful. And that's why you have to be very selective with your community. You know, your community is there, but it can also break you if it's not the right people. And as hard as it can be sometimes to admit and say, you know what, maybe this person doesn't belong in my path.
Yeah.
You just have to cut it.
Exactly.
You know, cut it. Don't let it get to the point where it really will define your path.
Or change who you are. Or
yes.
Anything like that. Like, you know, at your core, like, this is right or wrong for me. Like, you.
Yes. Know. You know. And the second you feel it, follow it.
Yeah. Easier said than done, but absolutely agreed. Because your body will tell you.
Yeah.
Your body gives
it
you.
It always tells you.
Like, very much listen.
Yeah. And it could, you know, this could translate to someone as just your body and your intuition. Mm-hmm. And to some people, that's God.
Yeah.
Because
absolutely.
As a person who believes in God, I always say, my thoughts aren't my thoughts. My human thoughts are mostly bad, but my good, righteous thoughts are God's way of speaking to me. That's how I hear God talking to me. So if I let's say meet a guy, that's a whack example. If I wake up one morning and I have things I need to do by the end of the day,
right?
But then a friend hits me up and they want to go on an adventure, I know immediately, my selfish me, myself and I will say, okay, I'm going to go on the adventure. Whatever I have to do can wait.
Can wait, right.
But because I've gone through life and I've learned and I know the right thing to do, God's going to be like, you know, you should really just get that done and then go be adventurous.
Right.
Because this person's not really, like, it clearly doesn't matter to them what I have to do. They just want to go have fun, right? So that's how I follow my intuition, if you want to say, or I just always say, like, my good thoughts, if it's holding the door for someone or saying good morning to a stranger, like, the second I hear the good thought, I'm like, okay, that's God, I'm gonna follow that, because the second I don't is me following my own decision, is that's never led me anywhere good.
Oh, interesting. I mean, I guess that I do relate to that. I feel like it's hard for me to put into words. I think my relationship with God, like I feel very spiritual and I know that I'm guided in a way. And I will always say that, like, I know I have angels around me. Like I feel very like powerful.
Yeah.
In a way. Like I feel fulfilled.
Yeah.
And hopeful, and like I know that there's something greater out there. Like I know that there's something greater out there. The way that you're able to channel it, though, I don't know if I've been able to find it other than in my career, because I'd be in my career and be like, yeah, that wasn't me speaking. Or I'm like, yeah, like there's no reason why this patient like feels so comfortable with this essence of mine. Like I'm so grateful that I can create that for them in one of the toughest times of their life.
Yes.
But sometimes I'm like, how? Like, who is that? Like, where do I get that from? And, like, my only other feeling is, like, it's just something bigger than me.
Yeah.
It's what I'm meant to be doing. And I feel very, very grateful to channel it in that way.
Yeah.
So I definitely, I'm, like, smiling right now because I'm like, wow, yeah, that definitely is it. I'm over here saying I don't really know, but actually, like, I think I...
Yeah, you do know.
I know
Jackie once asked me, and we're going to start closing the episode soon, but I'll end with this. Jackie once asked me, like, how do you hear God? Like, people always say God talks to you, but how do you know that he's actually talking to you? And I remember looking at her and saying, it's just my thoughts. And she's like, what? Like, you don't hear something? I'm like, no, I don't hear him. I just... Like, he's me. I am a reflection of God. And that's not to say that I'm a perfect person.
No.
That's just to say that when I wake up and I choose good and I choose righteousness and I choose to be just a good person, that's all it is.
Yeah.
That's God. Okay? God is not, oh, don't smoke weed. Oh, don't this, don't that. Be perfect. Be a doctor. Excel. Boom, boom, boom. Like, that's all just... Also, this is just my thoughts. Okay? Because if there's anybody out there listening, I don't want to hear it. My relationship with God is going to stay how I choose it to be.
It's personal.
It is personal.
I think that everyone has their own journey.
Yeah.
Everyone knows what works for them.
Exactly. So, yeah, I remember telling her that, and that really helped her, because it's literally what they say, like, devil on one shoulder, God on the other. That's how every day is. Now, it doesn't mean that every bad thought is the devil, because I don't really feed into that energy. You know, like, I know there's negative energy in the world, but I don't give the devil that much credit into my life.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I just say that my good thoughts are what lead me, and that's God. So I make it real nice and simple. And when you sit there, and I don't know what I was watching one day, but they were running a study and they were making people just sit and stare at the wall for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Just no distractions. Just sit and stare and see where your mind takes you and all the things that you could possibly think about. And you should try it one day.
There's so many
things. It's so powerful to just sit there and stare. Like, you just think about so many things.
Yeah.
And that's really what made that concept of God talks to me through my thoughts, because it's the mind is so powerful.
So powerful.
Yeah, it's so powerful.
And I genuinely, like, I think that, I mean, the mind is so powerful. Like, there's so many thoughts that go through our head. Like you're saying, like, you just sit in silence with yourself for like 2 minutes and it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, how do we get here? You know?
Yeah.
And like, I think that's why at least a lot of my friends journal, or I like will just talk things out loud, and like, because you just have to filter through everything that's going through your brain.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It needs that.
It needs that.
It can't all just stay in. You really have to process the information so the information knows where to go in your mind. It's crazy.
It's so interesting.
Yeah. Like, it's really crazy. Yeah. There are things that belong in the archive. There are things that you want to tab and pin on your desktop.
Right,
so it's easy to reach. It's a computer. You have to know how to work it. You have to take care of it. And it requires maintenance. Yeah. And the maintenance of that is pouring it out, you know, speaking out loud. You don't have to speak to people. Sometimes just saying the problem out loud a million times, or the solution a million times, will set it in stone more in your head, and you'll be like, okay, yes, this is the way to go.
I think it's just like giving yourself the space to feel your feelings and what you're thinking as well. Like, I think, like, personally for me, therapy did that for me. Like, just sitting there and talking with my therapist and just talking about myself for 45 minutes. Because I think that's another thing we're taught, like, don't talk about yourself too much. Like you mentioned earlier, conceited. Like, why are we even saying that word?
Yeah.
You're okay. We're with each other 24/7. That's what we know. You know what I mean? So, but being able to like talk about what you're going through and like just saying things out loud and like, oh, my thoughts went there. Why did they go there? And just kind of giving yourself the freedom to do that, whether it's through your community, through therapy, through talking to yourself, staring at a wall. Like, there are so many different ways to do it.
Yes. Many different ways. So I hope that this has given a lot of you guys some peace, some clarity, some information.
Things to think about.
Yes. These are two great minds coming together right here.
We talk about this all the time.
All the time.
These times, if they're recorded, like, people be like, how did they get from point A to point Z?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, we make it happen. Yes. And it's amazing. So I'm glad that we got to make this happen. How do you feel now that we're ending the episode? How was this?
I feel so good. I genuinely just love to, like, talk. I feel like I learned so much from my friends and just, like, talking like this and just setting aside time to just talk.
Yes.
We don't, like, rarely do that anymore.
Exactly.
So I just feel really good, and it's brought a lot of, like, positive things back, and also things that I'm like, maybe I should work on that, or maybe I should talk about that more, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I hope that does the same for others.
Right.
You know? Hope you had a good time.
Yeah, I had a great time.
Thanks for having me.
Anytime. Will you be back?
Yeah, absolutely. But
yeah, it's been great. This was awesome. I was here for the last 3 days, and it was definitely needed. I needed to come see my girl and spend some time with her, spend some time in this wonderful city that has a lot more to offer still.
Yep.
And yeah, that's it. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode. I hope that you enjoyed meeting my friend Twin. You guys can call her Twin too. You don't have to call her by her name.
It's Twin in my phone, in real life. Hey Twin, how are you?
Like, always Twin. When I say her name, you know it's serious.
It's so funny because I'm like, I wonder what other people are thinking when they hear, like, hey Twin. Oh, she got a twin? Yeah, I do actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's like very different, but trust me, just the same.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, this was great. I love it. Thank you so much for coming on. I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Have a great week. Remember, use your resources, think about your community, and live each day as it comes.